Good to see each and every one of you here. It's a little chilly in here, huh? The gas line is supposed to be put in this week, so we'll be warm next week. We thought about starting a little fire and pretending we were camping out, but I hear it's okay. Lizette says we're fine, so we're going to go with it. Will you bow your heads with me as we approach God? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, may you be present here to warm our hearts, to open our ears. Lord, teach us and make us teachable. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is no turning back. The leaves are changing. The air is getting cool outside. Fall is here. And there's great stuff about the fall, great stuff to like. There's pumpkins, there's Thanksgiving, bonfires, and campouts. But there's one thing that I've never really liked about the month of October. Typically in October, although not this year, but typically in October I get to watch baseball. Not this year, though. But when I'm doing that, I get to every now and then see commercials that are on TV, and I hardly ever watch anything live. I fast forward through them, but whenever October gets here, it seems like all the commercials are about scary movies and scary stories, and I've never liked horror movies and stories. They just aren't my thing. I don't like them at all, but people must like scary stories this time of year. So because of that, I thought today, since it is the first Sabbath of October, that we would continue this series, part two of this sermon series. I thought I would tell you a scary story. Can you handle a scary story today? I hear some no's and some yeses. You may have to hold someone's hand today. Keep you safe, and we will keep the lights on today just to be safe. So here's my story. Well, every good story seems to begin with a guy, and we do have a guy in this story. Who's our guy? Well, we're going to start with a very flawed character in this story, because the guy is me. And this is back in my radio DJ days. And every good story about a guy has to include a girl. And there is a girl in this story, too. But the girl in this particular story, the girl is not named Jeanette. That's why it's a scary story to share, you see. This girl's name was April. And years ago, she and I had been dating for well over a year, which was a really long time for a relationship for me. And I know some of you are curious and you're thinking, because I can sometimes tell what you're thinking. And you're thinking, Pastor Michael, whenever you tell us stories, you always have pictures up on the screen. So you're thinking in your head, where's the picture of April? Well, my friends, this year I am celebrating 15 years of happy marriage. And in those 15 years, you learn a few things. Such as, don't show pictures of old girlfriends at church. That's not in the minister's manual, but it should be there for my young student pastors who are here today. It should be in there. Well, April and I, you'll just have to use your imagination, but April and I had been dating for over a year. We were tight. We were very close. Every weekend, she would drive an hour. She'd drive an hour by herself to come up and visit me at college. That's dedication. Every weekend she did that. And we thought that we were in love. But I was not a Christian at this time. I was in my early 20s, and I really did not know what love was. Well, a certain Friday night came, and I waited for her to arrive, and she never showed. She never got there. I finally called her home, and her mom answered. And her mom broke the news to me that April's dad had been killed in a car accident, which was terribly sad. I was shocked. But I have to explain something, that April did not actually have a good relationship with her father. He had divorced her mom when she was still very little. Years later, she had tried to rekindle a relationship with this man when she found him again, and he sat her down. I think she was about 9 or 10, and he sat her down, and he said, look, I've got a new wife now and a new family, and I have to focus on them. Very, very harsh. So they weren't all that close. She was much, much closer with her stepfather, Lauren, and he was the man that I knew as pretty much her dad. But it's still devastating news to hear about losing a parent. So I knew that I would have to step up as the boyfriend, and I'd have to be there for her. Well, she didn't return my call, and a few days passed, and she never called me, which was odd. But finally, she did call, and she told me when the funeral was going to be. And I realized that I was going to have to skip class in order to attend this funeral. And I did a lot of crazy stuff in college, but I never skipped class. So all you college students out there, go to class. But I thought, you know what? I need to be a good boyfriend. So I told her I would come. And so that day came, and I got in the car, and I drove an hour to her parents' house, but she wasn't there. She was already at the funeral. So then I got in the car with April's mom and her stepdad, and then drove another hour to her father's funeral. It's a very awkward car ride, you can imagine. But that's what the boyfriend does, right? Right. So we made it to the funeral, and I was there, and I was loving, and I was supportive. Then I rode an hour back to her parents' house, then got in my car and drove another hour back to Iowa State. And I thought, well, I have done my duty. I was there for her. And I'm sure it's not over, but I've been there, and I'm going to continue to be there to help her through this, because that's what the boyfriend does. Well, next Friday came, and I waited, for her to arrive, and she never showed. And so I got worried. And you see, this was the time, young people, this was the time that we referred to as BCP in the world. Do you know what that means? This was the time before cell phone. Okay? So it's not like I could just call her or text her. That stuff didn't exist at that point in time. So I got worried and I called her house. And her mom said to me, Michael, she's moved out. I said, really? She said, yeah, we don't really know what's going on, but she's moved in to some friend's house. So, okay. So I got that number, and I called her friend's house, and I left a message. And I waited, and I never heard back. Called the next day and got her friend's mother, who was the house she was staying at, and the mother was very irritated that I was calling. And I said, I'm just trying to get a hold of April. I want to make sure she's okay. The mother said, fine, I'll give her the message. And I never heard back. A few days later, I called midweek and left a message. Nothing. Another Friday came, and I waited, and I waited. She never showed up. And I remember that, now I want you to remember that every weekend we'd been together for the previous year. So this was so odd, no calls, nothing. Well, at this point, I'm not real good at picking up on clues and signs, but I can read the handwriting on the wall at this point, and I'm realizing it is over. So I waited a couple more days, and then I called and left a voicemail. On the phone answer machine, I said, well, I get the message. So I guess we're broken up. I really don't understand what happened here, but I wish you would have called me or told me, but you know, I can take the hint. So I'll miss you. Take care. Goodbye. Well, come on, everybody. Aw, jeepers. You guys are heartless out there. Stone cold, my word. Man. Later that night, the phone rings. And again, boys and girls, this is what we refer to as the time as BCCID. What's that? Before caller ID. So I didn't know who it was. I answered the phone, and I hear April's voice say, hi. First time I've heard from her in weeks since the funeral. And she tells me that she wants to drive up to Ames to see me so we can talk. And I said, look, you don't have to. There's no need for you to drive up here. I said, it's obviously over. There's no reason to prolong this. It's better to just make it quick and clean, like a Band-Aid. You just rip it right off. But she kept insisting, and I said, you don't have to. I get it. She said, no, I want to come and talk. I said, fine. So she drove an hour to my place, and we talked. And as we talked, she told me that she wanted to stay together, which really blew my mind. I wasn't expecting that. But I never truly understood women at this time. So I figured, well, I must have been missing the signs. I don't know. So we talked a long time. We worked things out. And then she asks if she could move in with me. Yeah, my reaction was like that. What? I mean, we went from almost broken up to living together. I said, whoa, whoa, we can't do that. It didn't feel right. Again, I wasn't a Christian at the time, but this just didn't feel right. My roommate would have flipped if I'd have told him that I was going to have my girlfriend living with me. So I said, no, I don't think we can do that. But I cooked her dinner, and we hung out, and everything got back to normal. And then she said she had to go back home. And so I can remember I stood at the door, and I saw her as she was standing at the stairwell, about to head down the steps. And she turned, and she smiled at me. And she said, I love you. You can stop worrying now. Bye-bye. And she walked down the stairs. And I went back into my apartment and never heard from her again. Yeah, whoa is right. The following Friday came, and so at this point in time, I'm ready for her to arrive because everything is fixed. It's all back to normal. And she never showed. After a few hours, again, I got worried, so I called the place she was staying. No answer. Waited some more. Finally, I got really worried, so I called April's mom. And I said, I'm a little worried. I'm not sure where she's at. Do you know where she is? And there was a pause. Then her mom said, Michael, she told me that her and a group of friends were going camping this weekend. I said, oh, I see. April's mom said she was sorry. I said, yeah, me too. And so I hung up the phone and I got up off the floor. And folks, I'll tell you what, if a wall could say ouch, my wall would have said ouch that night. I was not happy at all. Never spoke to her again. I actually had to drive to her home and talk to her mom in order to get some of my stuff and to have some semblance of closure. It was so weird. But life went on. Graduated from college, and I got my dream job of working in radio at a station that I loved. And I lived in a town where everyone knew my name, and everyone knew my voice. But I never felt so alone. But God gave me time to think. He gave me time to forgive. But God has to speak to you in a way in which you will listen. So how is Jesus going to convince a rock and roll DJ that he needs to forgive his past? Where did I first learn the importance of forgiveness? From a wheelbarrow. Because you see, God is brave enough and he's big enough to speak to us in ways that we will listen. And when you're working in radio, you hear a lot of music. All day long you hear music. After a while, it becomes just kind of like background noise. And you almost stop paying attention to the songs. But one song broke through, and I really heard the message. A song by a group called The Traveling Wilburys. Now, you may not have heard of them, but you actually know some of the group members, because it was a super group of musicians and artists that got together. Jeff Lynne and Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan, George Harrison, and Tom Petty. And on the radio, I played one of their songs called End of the Line, which is a catchy tune. But there was one lyric in particular that jumped out at me, simple yet profound. from these secular artists. And the line was, "The best you can do is forgive." And that thought echoed in my mind. But friends, the Wilburys weren't the first to come up with the forgiveness idea on their own. The lesson that the best way to live life is to forgive goes back way beyond them. Because you see, it was a guy named Jesus who was singing that tune long before they ever thought of writing it. Listen to Jesus from our scripture text today, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, for their sins and their mistakes, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your sins, your transgressions, your mistakes." See, while I was working in radio, I started studying the Bible. And I was learning all sorts of amazing things. I was learning about prophecy. I was learning about the end times and what would happen. I was learning about healthy living and the importance of Sabbath and rest in connection with God. But my friends, I'm not sure if any of that would have mattered had I not also learned from Jesus of my desperate need to forgive. I don't think any of those truths would have mattered if I hadn't learned that I needed to forgive. Now, forgiveness is spoken of throughout the scriptures, everywhere. The story of Joseph is a story of forgiveness. Do you think we would still love that story and read it and tell it 1,000 years later if it ended like this? "And then Joseph threw his no good brothers into prison after having them beaten, and Joseph lived happily ever after." Do you think we'd love that story then? No, not at all. We love that story because at the end, after everything, Joseph forgives. The best you can do is forgive. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Friends, why do we forgive? We have to forgive in order to have a close walk with Jesus. Refusing to forgive will short-circuit our connection with Christ. It just happens. Because can you really go to the cross for forgiveness when you're holding on to a grudge against someone else? Can you really go to the foot of the cross? Friends, we need to forgive for a close walk for ourselves. And then as a church body, we must learn how to forgive. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, "As the elect of God," he's talking about believers now, amen? "As the elect of God, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do." Friends, if we're not able to forgive as a people, if we're not able to forgive, we need to rethink what our church sign is going to be outside. You recognize that sign, right? We had to take that one down, but when the construction is done, and praise the Lord, someday it'll be done. And we're going to put up a new sign out there. But when we put up that sign, friends, after the construction is finished, if we're not a forgiving congregation, you know what? We can still put Piedmont Park up on the sign. That's fine. If we don't forgive each other and others, you can put Seventh Day up there. That's all right. If we don't learn how to forgive, you can still put Adventist up there too. But if we're not a forgiving people, friends, there's no reason to put the word church on the sign. Because that's what a church is it's people who are not perfect, who make mistakes, but by the grace of God, learn to forgive. And if we refuse to be a forgiving people, there's no reason to put that up there. Because we're not a church then. If by God's grace we can't forgive, we're just a bunch of folks who get up way too early Saturday morning to hang out. We have to forgive. So we know that. Everybody knows that. I haven't told you anything new today. You do when you walked in the doors that you have to live a life of forgiveness. The real trick is how, Pastor? How do we do it? Because there are some hurts that cut very deep. Friends, forgiveness is not just hard. It's not just hard. Sometimes it's impossible. But let's do a little poll here for just a second. Let's do a little poll. Raise your hand if you, in your life, have never been hurt by somebody else. Just go ahead and let's see all those hands. Raise them all up if you've never, ever in your life been hurt by somebody else. Now, everybody take a peek around. Do you see any hands? Yeah. So you've been broken and you've been hurt. Show me somebody who hasn't been. But what do we do when we've been hurt? Well, first, friends, you have to recognize what forgiveness is and what it is not. Forgiveness is not saying what the other person did was okay. But that's what we think sometimes, and that's why we refuse and I can't do that. I'm not going to say it's okay. No, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is saying what you did was wrong. That's why you have to forgive it. It's saying what you did was wrong, but I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. Friends, there are steps to forgiveness. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's easy, but these are some steps that may help you when you need to forgive. And there are some forgiveness that's small, it's kind of easy, and we can do it. But there are some that are big. So what are the steps? Number one, acknowledge your pain. Admit that you've been hurt. Don't pretend. Don't hide it away because it will not go away. It'll stick with you. Number two, after you've acknowledged your pain, be specific about your future expectations. Jesus in the Bible said to forgive over and over and over again, but being a follower of Christ does not mean that you become a Christian doormat. By no means. Because there are abusers who use this to force their victims to forgive. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. We have to set limits as we forgive of our expectations in the future. Number three, when you need to forgive, you have to give up your right to get even. You have to give that up. And justice inside of you says no. But God above you says, let it go. Let go of the resentment, which I know is virtually impossible unless you hang out at the foot of the cross. Unless you hang out there. We all need Jesus' help for this, friends. Every one of us. Number four, if possible, communicate your act of forgiveness. Well, that's interesting. Communicate your act of forgiveness. If possible, sometimes you can't. Sometimes the person is long gone. Sometimes it's not safe. But if possible, communicate it. And then number five, the last one, that one looks better. Work toward reconciliation. Two key words there at the end. When safe. And only when safe. Because if we're talking about any form of abuse, then my friends, maybe reconciliation does not happen this side of heaven. Okay? Maybe it does not. But work towards that reconciliation if you can. But maybe we can't be completely reconciled, but with Christ's help, we can let go and we can forgive the past that's been haunting us. Because we have to let go of it in order to have a better future with Jesus. A better future. I told you that after April walked out of my apartment, that she was gone. But I did see her one more time. Years later, our paths crossed. On the night of my bachelor party before getting married. Yes, here's the rest of the story. On that night of my bachelor party, before marrying Jeanette, this was years later. At that point in time, I was actually ready to leave radio and go into ministry. So some of my friends, of course, wanted to throw me a bachelor party before the wedding. There's only one problem. They weren't quite sure what to do with their old partying radio DJ friend who's now going to become a minister. What do we do with this guy now for a bachelor party? So we started out hanging out that night, and then we were driving around, and sure enough, they ended up in the parking lot of a bar. And we stood in the parking lot, and I told them, I said, guys, I really don't want to go in. You know, I have no desire anymore for this. So now we're trying to figure out, what are we going to do, and where are we going to go? In my mind, I'm debating in my head, should I just go in with them and not drink? I don't know. And as we're trying to figure all this out, and we're trying to come up with ideas of where to hang out, one of my friends grabs me on the shoulder, and he says, whoa, she is staring a hole through you. And I said, what? Who? And I looked up, and our eyes locked. And for the first time in years, since that last time of seeing her, telling me that she loved me, there stood April, looking at me. After a long moment, she turned and walked inside the bar. Now, the news of April's appearing spread through my friends and made it to my best man named Nathan. He was my roommate from years before and was good friends with April as well. And he'd been there and saw the breakup, and he'd seen the hurt and the pain that it had caused me. He's also not a Christian and a big, rowdy, crazy guy too. So I heard him say, April's in there? Well, problem solved. We're going inside, baby. And he grabbed me by the shoulders and started leading me in. And he said, it's go time now. Let's get in there, man. Maybe I can hit her with a chair. He said, come on. And I ducked out from under his arm and took a step back. And I said, no, guys. I said, I don't need to go in there. Tonight is not about the past. I've forgiven her, and I wish her well. I hope she finds what she's looking for. And I had not realized that I'd forgiven her until that moment. But God had taken me beyond my pain and beyond my heart, my hurt, and he took me to the cross. He took me to the place where I could see the hurt that my sins and my mistakes had caused. And then Christ forgave me. And he helped me learn how to forgive. And friends, once I'd forgiven the past, then Christ gave me something so much better for my future. Amen. But I truly believe that my marriage would not have worked. I wouldn't be here 15 years later if I had not let go, if I had not forgiven the past. Now, I still need to learn how to forgive. No one gets a degree in forgiveness and graduates from it. The Wilburys still remind me, the best you can do is forgive. So I choose. I choose every day to go back to the cross, to go back to Christ and to lay all my burdens down. Friends, later this month, because I believe forgiveness is so important, we're going to talk a third time about forgiveness. In a few weeks, I'm going to do it again. But today, if you're feeling that call to forgive, I want to encourage you just to talk to Jesus about it. Meet him at the foot of the cross, and he will help you. Talk to others. Don't hide it. Don't bury it anymore. It's time to lay down the burden you've been carrying. It's time to let Jesus have it. Let go and forgive. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being in control. I thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to do something that you won't help us to do. And your word has called all of us to forgive. And that's just not inside of us. We don't do it naturally. So we need your help. Lord, guide us to the foot of the cross. where we can find forgiveness for our mistakes, and where we can find the power to forgive someone else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.